If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. Have you ever thought about how remarkable it is that when a baby is born, a being enters the world who is completely and totally dependent on others for everything? Completely and totally dependent. Yet the parents of that little baby want to see their child sometime throughout the next 20 years go from a place of total dependence to independence. They want their child to be able to take care of and look out for himself one day. Not that they want to wish away the next 20 years or not enjoy it, but if their child doesn't grow up in 20 years, they're probably going to have some issues. When a baby is born, he relies on others to be fed. He needs his diaper changed. Can't even walk. He's totally dependent. Yet as time goes by, that little child develops, begins to eat real food. There comes a day when that little child takes his first steps. Hopefully, the diapers will disappear as well. As that little child grows a little bit older, parents teach him how to brush his teeth. They teach him to make his bed, clean up his room, get dressed on his own. They send him to school so he can learn how to think. They try to teach their child how to be a hard worker. And a frightening day comes when that child even learns how to drive so he can get around on his own. The parents do all this hoping that one day their child will turn into an independent, successful man who doesn't need mom and dad anymore to take care of him. How interesting it is that though this is the desire of mothers and fathers here upon earth, we have a heavenly Father who desires something far, far different for his children. For his desire is not that his children would be independent or self-reliant. Rather, God wants his children to learn to depend on him. In fact, God wants you to learn to depend on him. In Genesis 32, we encounter a man who came out of the womb grasping his brother's heel. And for this act, he was given the name Jacob. Heel grasper, supplanter, schemer, deceiver. Genesis 32, we find a believer, a man who wants to go forward for God. He's on the pathway of sanctification. He's a child of God. Yet he's very self-reliant and independent. He often does things in his own strength. This is the man here who always found a way to make things work. He's got his hands oftentimes all over everything, scheming to bring things about, order and arrange things, instead of sitting back and let God be God. Jacob was a schemer. You remember that he stole his brother's birthright. He deceived his father into blessing him instead of his older brother Esau. Yes, he contended with his father-in-law Laban and was successful there as well. He was a confident, independent, and self-reliant man. Yet in Genesis 32, God is going to change Jacob, the schemer. God is going to teach Jacob to depend on him. Genesis 32, beginning in verse 22. And he rose up that night, Jacob, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. As we consider the work of God in the life of Jacob, to bring him to a place of total dependence on him, I think you'll notice that God often deals with us in much the same way as he dealt with Jacob, because he wants to teach us to depend on him. Would you notice, first of all, in this text, the crisis of the man? God sovereignly led self-reliant, independent Jacob into a crisis. In verse 9, we read that the Lord commanded Jacob, "Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." Jacob had spent the last 20 years outside the promised land with his father-in-law Laban, and now he's headed back home. Here on Jacob's journey back to the land of promise, he finds himself in a huge mess, a huge crisis. Jacob had sent messengers before him to his brother Esau, who he hadn't seen in 20 years. And those messengers returned to him with distressing news in verse 6. "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Of course he was afraid. Some 20 years before, Jacob had left the promised land. He was fleeing from Esau because Esau threatened to kill him for stealing the blessing from him. And now, 20 years later, the fury of Esau is still burning. He's coming to take care of business, and he has the means to do it. He's coming to kill Jacob. Jacob's wives and children are in danger. He's about to lose everything he owns. The last 20 years of labor are about to be gone. No doubt memories of past failures are plaguing him as he remembers his deception, his scheming. There's nowhere for Jacob to turn. Before him is Esau, and behind him is Laban. Jacob's trapped. God Almighty has led Jacob into a crisis. The man who always found a way to make things work and get what he wanted can't deal with the crisis. It's too big for him. And God uses the crisis to bring Jacob to the end of himself. Perhaps like Jacob, God has led you into a crisis because God wants to teach you something. God wants to teach you to depend on him. God puts crises in our lives to teach us to depend on him, to teach us to turn to him. He puts them there so that we might come to realize that we need God all the time, not just in the time of crisis. Will God have to bring you into a crisis for you to learn to depend on him? You know, you can't live the Christian life on your own. You can't have victory over sin on your own. You can't raise your family on your own. You can't find God's will on your own from day to day. From the small thing to the big thing, you can't do it on your own. But how often we try. God wants you to depend on him. Sometimes God's children are so self-reliant and independent that in the midst of the crisis, in order to teach his children to depend on him, God cripples them. We've considered the crisis of the man. Now let's consider the crippling of the man. God is bringing Jacob to the end of himself. In the night, Jacob sends his wives and his children across the river. In verse 24, Jacob finds himself alone with God. Alone with God. But what we learn when we find ourselves alone with God. The text tells us that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. A few verses later, it's revealed to us that that man is none other than God himself, the second person of the Trinity. God wrestled with Jacob until the breaking of the day. It would appear that God and Jacob wrestled for several hours into the morning. God allowed Jacob to exert all of his energy, to wear himself out. And after hours of striving with God, verse 25 tells us that God touched the hollow of his thigh. God put Jacob's hip out of joint. And as we consider the crippling of this man, we begin to realize that God brought Jacob to a place of commitment and a place of confession. He brought him to a place of commitment. Down in verse 26, and he, God, said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Can you see the picture? Here's a man with his hip out of joint. God's touched him. He's crippled him. Jacob's not wrestling anymore. He can't. What's Jacob doing? He's clinging. He's holding on to God. And when the Lord asks him to let go, he replies, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. God, I need you. I'm not running away anymore. God, I'm clinging to you because I want to know you. I want to know who you are." In fact, a few verses later, Jacob went on to ask God his name. He wanted to know the God that he realized he so desperately needed. God brought Jacob to a place where he was committed to knowing who his God was. And I think it's fair to say that every believer in this room is self-reliant and independent. At least to one degree or another. We just don't think about it that often because we are. We just keep going. And it's not till the crisis often that we realize just how independent and self-reliant we are. We don't depend on the Lord as we ought. We need God for every part of life. You must be committed to knowing the God you so desperately need. Not only did God bring Jacob to a place of commitment, but he also brought him to a place of confession. After Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me," God asked Jacob a convicting and piercing question in verse 27. God asked Jacob this, "What is thy name?" Jacob was asked that question years before by his father, Isaac. "Who art thou, my son?" To which Jacob replied, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." Liar! Deceiver! Schemer! Jacob stole the blessing from his older brother Esau. And here is Jacob alone with God. And God asks him, "What is thy name?" To which Jacob confesses, "Jacob. I am Jacob. I'm the heel grasper. I'm the schemer, the contender, the supplanter. I don't depend on you. I've been living life in my own strength. I can't do it." Jacob confessed his sin to God. He confessed the error of his way. "I am Jacob." Maybe tonight you need to do the same thing. Confess your sin to God. You need to look at your life as God sees it. "God, I'm a schemer. I don't trust you. I don't depend on you. I have my hands all over everything, trying to order and arrange my life, trying to work things out on my own. God, I don't turn to you. God, I hardly think about you. God, I'm a schemer. I don't depend on you. Forgive me for not living my life in constant dependence on you." God wants you to depend on him. When God crippled Jacob, he brought him to the place where he was committed to knowing his God. And he brought him to the place where he confessed his sin. And God wants to do the same thing with you. There's a practice among shepherds that when dealing with a sheep that strays and keeps running away, they'll actually break that little sheep's leg so that sheep can't run away anymore. And the shepherd will carry that sheep until the leg becomes strong enough to put a splint on it. And when the leg is healed, the sheep doesn't stray anymore. But God often has to do the same thing with us. In order to teach us, in order to help us grow, God often has to cripple us. We've considered the crisis of the man and the crippling of the man. But now, let us also consider the crowning of the man. For it has been well said by a great preacher of the past, when God cripples, it is in order to crown. God changed Jacob's name that day from Jacob to Israel because God had changed Jacob. He changed him from independent to dependent. And then he went on to bless him. Jacob limped away that day a different man. Through crippling, God placed a crown upon his head that day full of many, many precious stones. We'll consider but three of them, three jewels placed in the crown of Jacob after he wrestled with God. After Jacob wrestled with God, after he encountered him, he had a jewel of truth. Truth about God. Verse 30 says that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. What truth Jacob learned about his God through the crisis and the crippling. God made himself known to Jacob that day, and Jacob committed himself to knowing his God. He came to know his God better than he'd ever known him before. Jacob learned that the crisis that was too big for him wasn't too big for his God. When Jacob met Esau, he realized that God had the power to quench the fury of his older brother. God had the power to protect his family. God had the power to bless him. Jacob came to realize that he could go forward by faith, clinging to the promises of God. He didn't need to be concerned with the blessing. God could take care of that. But Jacob learned that he could go forward by faith because he had an awesome God. Jacob was given a jewel of truth, truth about his God. But he was also given a jewel of trust. God taught Jacob to trust in him, not in himself. God changed this man from self-reliant and independent to dependent. Jacob no longer was trusting in his own strength and abilities, but Jacob was trusting in his God. He was depending on him. Jacob was given a jewel of truth and a jewel of trust, but he was also given a jewel of testimony. No doubt Jacob's family saw him the next day come limping back to camp. How they must have asked him questions. What happened to you? Why are you limping? Let me tell you how God changed me. Let me tell you about my God. Oh yes, he's crippled me, but how he's crowned me. He broke me, but he made me. Jacob had a testimony that no one could take away from him. A testimony that pointed right at Jacob's God. God wants you to depend on him. God wants all of his children to depend on him. We need him for everything, but how quickly we forget it. We forget that we need God in the small things. We forget to bow our knee to him in prayer because we're self-reliant. We're independent. What will it take for you to learn to depend on him? For you to take your hands off of life and give it to God. For you to stop scheming, deceiving, doing things in your own strength. Does God need to lead you into a crisis? Must God cripple you in order to crown you? Because I think God can crown us without crippling us. God wants you to learn to depend on Him for everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that we would turn to You, that You would give us the wisdom and understanding to know that we need You, that we can't do things in our own strength, but that we'd rely on You, that we'd go forward by faith, clinging to Your promises, leaving the blessing up to You. Lord, would You be glorified with our lives and use us for You. In Jesus' name, amen.